the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, episode 501. You're just rocking with me today. BJ's busy packing. He's flying somewhere tomorrow, so it's going to be just me tomorrow, unless I can get Scott or another friend of the show. Who knows? We might have a surprise in store. But anyway, let's talk about it. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics, the Pacers. Now, I spent all day telling people that I think the Pacers can win. And I convinced myself that the Pacers could win this series. I thought there's a lot of reasons why. The Celtics love to shoot threes. The Pacers were the best team in the regular season at denying opponents from shooting threes and funneling them into the paint. And a whole host of other reasons. If you guys tuned in to my coverage of the game on BBC, you can check that out. If not, go back and watch it. It's on iPlayer. Free if you're in the UK. If you're not in the UK, VPN. But anyway, game went to overtime. And honestly, I'm still not quite over how that game ended. Jaylen Brown hit a huge three from the corner to send this one to OT. And then in OT, the Celtics closed it out. But it's a game they should have won. They started out the game on an absolutely amazing 12-0 run. The defense was locked in. The Pacers could not hit a shot. And then the Pacers called a timeout, got back into the game. Now, if we look at a stat sheet for this one, for the Celtics, Tatum had 36, 12, 4, and 3 steals. Jaylen Brown had 26, 7, 5, 3 steals, 1 block. And when I read out stats, if I say 26, 7, and 5, that means 26 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. I don't like when people say assists before rebounds without clarifying it. Jrue Holiday had his best performance for the Boston Celtics so far with 28 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals. Al Horford had 15 and 6 to go along with 3 blocks. And Derek White had 15 and 9 assists. Peyton Pritchard was really the only one off the bench. He gave them 8 points. Luke Kornet gave them 5, but the bench was abysmal. I don't know if Joe Mazzulla is going to have to turn into Tom Thibodeau in this series and for the rest of the NBA playoffs, because the bench guys outside of Pritchard aren't really giving you much. And for the Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton, 25 points, 10 assists. Miles Turner, 23 points, 10 assists, 2 blocks. Pascal Siakam, 24 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Nesmith gave them 14 and 2 steals. Nembhard gave them 12 and 7 assists. And then off the bench, Obi Toppin gave them 15. TJ McConnell gave them 13. Ben Shepherd hit a bucket as well. So on the stat sheet, here's the things that stood out to me. The Pacers won the rebounding battle just by 1. But this is an area where I expected the Celtics to come out and dominate. The Pacers moved the ball very well. They came up with 38 assists on their 53 made field goals. And honestly, the points off turnovers for the Celtics is what won them this game. 32 points off turnovers. If we look at the amount of turnovers that the Indiana Pacers ended up having in this game, they finished with 21 turnovers to 14 from Boston. Now, 14 from Boston is bad, but 21 from the Pacers is abysmal. And it was those plays in overtime, you know, Jrue Holiday forcing with his relentless defense, Tyrese Haliburton into a turnover. Jaylen Brown had some huge steals on the defensive side of the basketball. And I'm looking at this from a serious perspective, and it's like, you expect the Celtics to have one game where they just don't show up, right? You saw that against Miami, you saw that against Cleveland. I don't think this was that game. I think the Pacers can cause a lot of problems, and I'll break it down for you. The Celtics are lacking Kristaps Porzingis, but even if they had Kristaps Porzingis, the Celtics have been the worst team in the NBA playoffs statistically at guarding the pick and roll. Their bigs can't operate in space when other teams spread the floor. So now, what are your options? You can't switch, because every time you switch, and the Pacers were targeting Horford for down the stretch in the fourth and overtime to get that switch and then create off the dribble, usually being a step back that he can't get out to in time to contest. So you can't switch. You throw two defenders at the ball. Tyrese Haliburton isn't that good of a passer. He'll find the open man. And the Celtics' rotations were slow. So what are you left with? You can't play drop coverage because they'll pull up and shoot. The pick and roll is going to be really tough, especially because Miles Turner is such a good three-point shooter. Now, because he's such a three-point shooter, Al Horford, he can't actually come across and double, because Miles Turner ended tonight, he had 3 of 4 from three on his way to 23 points, but he was really in his rhythm, and then he had a couple nice assists as well. He finished with 4 of them when he was playing out of the short roll, because, you know, Luke Kornet, Al Horford would bite on his pump fakes from three because he's accurate from three, and then also he can drive the lane or, you know, cut to the basket on the roll and get it done. So I think that the pick and roll is really an area the Celtics are going to have to come up with something. For the Celtics, I want to see them go with more small ball lineups. Jason Tatum at the five is something that intrigues me. Obviously, you get up the size mismatch, but if you can avoid Derek White being switched onto Pascal Siakam, which was a mismatch that Siakam abused, then you are going to be in pretty good shape, because I think Tatum can play at the five. He's played against the five against the Pacers in the regular season, and I think that's something they'll experiment with. The minutes without Tatum on the court were absolutely horrible tonight. Now, don't get me wrong, Jason made some really bad decisions down the stretch, especially in the fourth quarter, down the stretch late in the game. He took up like a tough, contested, fading mid-range two when they were down by three with 12 seconds left, and I was like, what the hell? And he was 1-for-7 from three until he went to a pick-and-roll with Derek White. Both defenders went with Derek White, who kicked it to Tatum from the top of the key, and he knocked it down. And that's just the thing about being a great player. You have to be able to make those shots, even if you haven't been making them all night long. And then Jaylen Brown, the Celtics down three, the Pacers inbounding the ball, and everyone thinks, okay, cool, the Celtics are going to foul them, send them to the line, get the ball back. No, Jaylen Brown forces Siakam into the turnover. Then off the inbounds, Brown comes up, curls around Derek White, goes back to the corner. He gets a three. Now look, he rips the ball across his body. Pascal Siakam should have fouled him then. He pump fakes, and then he goes up for the three. Now, Siakam didn't foul because he didn't want to give up a four-point play, which is probably a wise move because the Celtics would have won the game. But this was the game for the Pacers to steal. Game one on the road. And with it being so close, I know that's added motivation for the Celtics, but I'm looking at the adjustments of what they can make. And defensively, I really don't know, man. I think the series is going to be tougher than people think. I tweeted out today that I think the Pacers are tougher for Boston than the Mavericks will be for the Timberwolves. And we'll talk about the Mavericks and the Timberwolves later on, because the game one of the Western Conference Finals begins tonight. But I just, you know, Jason Tatum, he had a great game statistically, but this was not the Jason Tatum that we know. And he had some turnovers. There was one possession where he had Nembhard guarding him. He had Nembhard guarding him a lot in this game. When you've got Andrew Nembhard guarding you, go and get yourself to the block and go and get a bucket. He's standing at the top. He's calling Jrue Holiday over to screen. And I'm like, why, brother? You're mad tall compared to Andrew Nembhard. Go to work. If that's who they're going to guard you with, because Nesmith fouled out down the stretch. I mean, okay, cool. But the Celtics, they're now 73-20 on the year. They just have to go 7-6 the rest of the way to win an NBA championship. They're 7 wins away from an NBA championship. Can they win 3 of the remaining 6 games in this series? And then can they win 4 of the 7? And a lot of that is going to be on the 3-point volatility. Celtics tonight from downtown, they shot 15 of 45. That's 33%. Now, we know the Celtics want to shoot at least 36% or better if they want to win games comfortably. So, a little bit worried. You can't rely on 3-point shooting. Porzingis will be back for game 4, apparently, according to Woj. But I'm watching the playoffs. I'm watching the Celtics play Cornette, Hauser, and Pritchard all at the same time. There's got to be some sort of staggering with the lineups. And I said earlier, he's got to go Tom Thibodeau special. You might have to. You might have to. The Celtics were way better at getting to the line. Now, they shot 30 free throws and made 24 of them. Meanwhile, the Pacers, they only really got like 6 free throws in kind of regulation time. They went 9 of 10 from the free throw line. But the Pacers are a team that give up a lot of free throws because of their defense. They're stingy on threes. They make players take it inside to the paint, and that's why they give up a lot of free throws. And on the other end, they're not great at getting to the line as well. But the Pacers set the NBA record for field goal percentage in the game 6. And then tonight, they were shooting the lights out. At one point, I think it was like halftime, they were shooting 67%. And it's like, bro, are you guys ever going to miss a shot? I sounded a little bit like Carl Anthony Towns when I said bro there. Please forgive me. But yeah, so tough win for the Celtics. But those are the kind of games you need to win in the playoffs. And they'll take that and they'll learn from it. And they've got to figure out something they can do defensively. Okay. Now, Western Conference Finals. Dallas and Timberwolves. I'm picking the Timberwolves for this one. Reason being, they've got great interior defenders. Rudy Gobert can erase those lob threats to Gafford and PJ and Lively, sorry. And defensively on the perimeter, Anthony Edwards, Jalen McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Those are three guys. If you're going to pick anyone to guard Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, you're going to pick those three guys that are left in the playoffs. I mean, obviously Jrue Holiday as well, but he's in the East. And I just think defensively, they might just have Dallas's number. And then the main reason why I'm rolling with the Timberwolves is Luka Doncic's health concerns me. Luka's health concerns, but also Maxi Kleber not being back. That gets rid of a lot of the lineup versatility that you might need against this Timberwolves team rather than an OKC team who they could get by. So I'm rocking with the Minnesota Timberwolves. They've got all the momentum with them. Obviously, I know the Mavericks won their series, but winning that Game 7 on the road in Denver, that's got to give you a psychological edge. So it's interesting. It's interesting. The keys for Game 1, I'm going to look at how Luka deals with that pressure, because I know they're going to go try and pressure him full court because they know he's on a bad leg, try and run his stamina down. Can Kyrie Irving still do what Kyrie Irving does? Because we've seen Anthony Edwards absolutely clamp him before in a few possessions that I was watching just now. So it's going to be interesting how that goes, because outside of those two, they don't really have guys that can create for themselves. They don't really have guys that can create without Luka or Kyrie feeding them the ball. So it's going to be interesting, because the Timberwolves were built to beat the Denver Nuggets. They weren't built to beat the Mavericks, but I think the Nuggets are obviously better than the Mavericks. But yeah, that's that. I would love Luka and Kyrie to prove me wrong, but I still think the Timberwolves are on track to win an NBA championship. Tough series if Luka's healthy, but only time will tell. It's a quick episode from me today. BJ's not here. Just a quick little update, because I waited up for an hour and a half. It's now 5:45 in the morning, so I waited an hour and a half. But he can't make it, unfortunately. But we'll be back. He'll be back. And the podcast is going to keep rolling. I appreciate all the love you guys sent me for 500 episodes. It really means a lot. That's why we do this, man. For you guys, the listeners. That's why we do 500 episodes. And we're going to do 500 more. And 500 after that. And 500 after that. We're going to keep it rolling. And appreciate you rocking with us. Subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. I hope the audio for this was okay. I'm in a hotel on my laptop. Not my usual setup. But here we are. Here we are. Also, back to the Celtics. Al Horford did not shoot the ball well from downtown. He was 3 of 12. Jason Tatum, 2 of 8. Jaylen Brown, 1 for 4. But the one was the big one that saved the game. Derek White, 3 for 8. Jrue Holiday, he was good. 4 from 8. But the Celtics, you expect them to shoot better. And we'll see if they do in Game 2. And I think it's very important for Boston that they win big in Game 2. Now, the Indiana Pacers haven't lost at home since March the 18th. You cannot afford to lose another Game 2, especially given how close Game 1 was. A foul call here, a loose ball there, Jaylen Brown shot missing. It was a game of fine margins. You have to win Game 2. You have to win it big, and you have to make a statement. That's the Hoop Genius Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.